Okay, yeah. My name is Brian again. I'll be the administrator on today's call. If you haven't already pointed your web browser to the page with our notes today, the URL to that page is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. And we'll ask you to refresh that page a couple of times throughout the conference as we add some additional notes to that page. Some key commands that you might find useful are *4 will increase the volume on your line, and *6 will mute your line if you're in a noisy room. Some upcoming conferences and research that we're doing 2 weeks from today on Wednesday, December 15th at 4 p.m. We'll be offering a clinic on optimizing page weight to increase website conversion. So if you're interested in attending that, you can email me at editor@marketingexperiments.com and I'll get a spot reserved for you. Additionally, we're working on a number of different topics right now, but 4 upcoming research briefs that we'll be releasing are optimizing page weight, testing free trial offers, effective pay-per-click campaign tracking, and testing eBay's new pay-per-click service. I can hear a little bit of background noise. If you think that might be you, you might want to hit *6 to mute your line. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be our primary presenter for today's conference. Dr. McLaughlin.
Yes, thank you, Brian. Pleasure to be with you again. We've got an unusual topic we're going to be discussing. I just would point out before we begin that in addition to all of these things that Brian is talking about, we're working hard on a plan for 2005 where we actually segment. Someone needs to press the system. You might need to mute everyone, Brian, if we keep having problems there. But we're working on a plan in 2005 where we're going to actually segment research into 4 or 5 key areas that we notice interesting. A whole series of topics for pay-per-click, natural search, a whole series of topics on email, a whole series of topics on site conversion, and we've also are working closely now with Jalali Hartman. Jalali, are you on this call? I'm not sure that he is. Jalali Hartman? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, you're here. Okay. Jalali founded Infopia.com and built a major marketplace and into a multi-million-dollar group, raised a lot of capital, and then, you know, get through the great .com crash and all the way through to profitability. But he's at heart always been a researcher and an innovator, and he's recently joined our lab and is working full time. He's here in Florida with us right now conducting research. His company's still running and it has professional management in place. He's a specialist and an expert in eBay and the auction sites, and he's going to be overseeing a whole series of research projects related to that as well. So we're working on this through the calendar of next year. We have a big surprise for everyone that's coming in terms of what we're going to do with membership. We'll be sharing that with you as we get closer to the end of the year. Also, watch during the month of January when we release what we consider the blueprint for how to, you know, basically overview all of our reports organized in a way to get deaths in kind of a sequential order if you were looking at a marketing plan for the year, how to kind of integrate that into a marketing plan, kind of a blueprint for 2005 based on the latest information and research and best practices. So those things are all coming. Now we're going to look at a report that's really quite different than what we normally do. It's different because, first of all, it's not based on a lot of data. It's the type of report that tells you how we accumulate valuable data in analyzing a competitor. But because of its nature, we can't reveal this kind of data in a bunch of charts and tables. Instead, we can tell you how we at MEC process of analyzing a competitor or conducting a competitive analysis. And without even looking at my notes, there's a few things I want to point out for you in just a moment. But a competitive analysis is a formal evaluation in which you review the businesses of one or more companies that compete with your own. And online competitors, and that's directly or indirectly, but online competitors have access to each other's company information and marketing materials that they may not be able to gather as easily in the offline world. And this allows for an even greater opportunity to benefit from competitive analysis and data. So we find that when we're launching a new operation, the first thing we do is survey the market, identify the top competitors. There's a way to do that. Then we glean data and information from them that often short-circuits 12 to 24 months of our own learning curve. We also find that a business that's done that once needs to do it periodically as the market is constantly changing. We worked with a research partner, and that partner has grown, I don't know, 300% this year. And we were just reviewing what we think we're going to research in 2005 with them, and the first thing we recommended was a competitive analysis. And because the market's changed in the last 12 months, and we'll learn a great deal in January after we've surveyed his competitors. So having said all that, I'd like to talk to you about how we do it. I'd like to nail down, first of all, what are the benefits of conducting a competitive analysis. And they help you to know, first of all, who you're competing against, which is critical. Two, what factors drive success in your market space. And three, they help you to know what your key competitive strengths and weaknesses are. And four, they help you to identify what you need to do to improve your competitive position. Those are four critical keys. They're a bit ethereal because you need to convert that kind of theory right down into action, and we shall before we're done here. That's essentially what those four great benefits are. Now, we're going to look at how we conduct a competitive analysis, but I want to talk to you about what our limitations are in this telephone call and give you a couple of philosophic underpinnings for this approach. Essentially, when you analyze a competitor or your own operation, you need to analyze, apart from the financial side of how you do business, which we would separate in a delineation of a business's primary visions, what you're really looking at is the strength of what you offer, strength, the weaknesses of what you offer, and the weaknesses of how you present it, particularly online. Now, it might be that in other types of environments, you're also looking at third major component, and that has to do with the financial side of a competitor's position, because you might find that by spending at a certain degree, you can gain a strength that they cannot match, and so you can literally spend them into a weaker position. Things like that happen on a major geopolitical front or on a large scale with certain businesses. But we're really focused on our audience and those on the net. And so please bear in mind this, because there's simplicity in this that brings clarity in the end. You're thinking about what you offer as opposed to what your competitor offers. Is his value proposition stronger? Does he have more products? Are his products better quality? Does he deliver them faster than you deliver them? Does he have a guarantee that you don't offer? Does he associate the product with certain services that you don't offer? That's the offer part. And then the second thing is, how well is he presenting the offer? Is his website effective? Does his website allow you to communicate his primary objective? Does it communicate his value position well? Are his products easy? Are there too many clicks necessary? Is his order process convoluted? And I could go down a long list. Point I want to make is that you look at what he has to offer and how he offers it. And within that, we'll be focusing a lot on the website part of you know, how he offers it, although he may do other things offline as well. Value of the net is it's so focused, and there's data you can get that'll help you. So I want to, with that in mind, give you kind of a general template for competitive analysis and then move right down hard and give you a chart, set of tips or steps for conducting that type of analysis. Chart that I would offer will come after we just kind of give you a simple understanding of the two big steps in the process. The first is define the competitive set, who it is that you're going to study. And the second thing is to, of course, analyze that competitive set. So you have to nail down who's your competitor based on the scope of products and services, or based on geography, based on, you know, is it domestic, is it international, etc. And then you have to have some type of method for determining competitors. In our case, one of the most effective ways to determine a competitor is through the search engines themselves. Best way to find out who your competitor is to find out who the customers are seeing instead of you. And on the net, that's quite possible to determine. And one of the ways to do that is to take your own search terms, and we'll talk about this later, run them backwards. In other words, run them through the net, enter them, and see who's occupying the top five positions in multiple platforms, in Yahoo, MSN, in the pay-per-click engines, and et cetera. Natural search results will tell you a lot about not just who's aggressive in natural search, but who has been there longer often, who has a stronger content offering. It tells you a different set of information or different type of information than pay-per-click engines, because typically those that appear in the pay-per-click engine's paid results will tell you a lot about how aggressive a competitor is. There is a cycle in competitor search advertising where often someone new to search overspends more than you should spend, dominates the position that you'd like to have, but you have too much prudence to spend that much, and then after learning a hard lesson over an extended period of time, cuts back on their spending. And that cycle makes it difficult for really prudent, smart companies to maintain top positions in the pay-per-click engines, because there's always a new wave of competitors willing to lose money or too ignorant to know better that come in and for a short term will dominate the space. You can almost identify where a competitor is on that curve by studying how they're advertising in the search engines. So once you've determined the competitive set and you've used perhaps search engines or you've leveraged site tracking that you have in place, you know, looking at the URLs your abandoned orders are going to or visitors coming from and then seeing again where they else they may be going, and check trade associations, check business registries, select the top competitors. I don't find this to be very difficult on the internet to find your top 3 to 5 competitors. I might make one comment about this. And it's, I heard 3 years ago on the net that brand didn't matter, that it was all about the niche. And what I've discovered is brand matters more on the internet and than what anyone told us then. And I believed it back then and said it back then, and it didn't make sense because the big brands weren't doing a very good job on the net. Truth is, for all those found results, you're going to find there's only a few people that really matter. And in any space or in any economy like this, there are a few that do much better than the rest, and they're the ones you need to watch. If you're not in the top three, you're not in the game. Most spaces. Now, that's not true in certain things. It's not true in consulting. It's not true in certain service offerings. Very true in commodity-based products. And so you can find those top 5 competitors pretty soon. Once you've found them, then you need to assess both their offering and their presentation of the offering. And so I will, I'll just give you a caveat. After those processes are done, you need to do an internal audit of what you've got and compare what you've learned. Man, you can learn so much so quickly. You can discover not only what they're doing poorly that you're doing better, but you can discover what they're doing well that you're not doing as well and make immediate changes to your site. Just watching their website makes a difference. So I'm going to take now this limited presentation and give you a chart and begin to talk about how to analyze their website. The reason is I think analyzing their presentation is probably more difficult for you than analyzing their offering. And the reason is if you're offering essentially the same thing as they are, you know that market. You know what that product is, and you can analyze their offer very quickly, likely better than we can. But how well are they communicating their offering? I have so many times, I'll give you an example. I had a research partner that had a subscription offering. They were not number one, they were number three. Worked with them until they became number two. We realized that there were other people out there with great offerings, but they did not know how to present the offering well. We refined the presentation of their offering. And they gleaned over 200,000 registered members, passed up number one, and have now launched way and are just roaring past number one. They're number one now, but the gap grows greater and greater between former person and number one position. And a large part does they present their offering better. They were aggregating content from across the net, so it's not like their content was much more original than the other groups. It is, to some degree, based on their intelligent, and I'm not taking credit for this either, based on their intelligent refinement of their offer so that it appealed stronger and stronger. Let's look at kinds of things we look at when we analyze a website. To do that, Brian's going to refresh a table, which will drop in your notes. Not very beautiful in those notes because it's just in raw form, but in the final report we send you, it will be time you can clearly see it. Site design analysis template. And you should be able to see that now. With that in for you, this is an actual template that you can use to look at a competitor's site, update it, compare it to your own. First thing is, based on the site's presentation, is it focused around one clear objective? I'd say 8 out of 10 sites I look at have competing objectives on the website. Their email capture form is competing with their product specials form, is competing with the top 5 most popular products, is competing with a news story on the right, doesn't even need to be there to begin with. And the reality is, we need to ask, what is the objective of this page, and we need to focus every single element on the page to accomplish that objective. It's true there might be a secondary objective. To capture an email address is a good secondary objective. That secondary objective should be weighted less. Primary objective. When I say weighting, I'm talking about the emphasis, what jumps off the page. 5 elements influence that: size, color, motion, shape, position on the page. Top left, for instance, a position that gets lots of eye. Same, that also gets lots of visual. If you, however, move center pane down below what's common in the standard resolution for the standard browser, then of course it's far less. If you run everything across your page in 4 even columns, what you're doing is challenging people to find a path through all those columns and understand what it is you're trying to say to them. Incredibly, this first step is one that most every site I look at fails miserably at. I might also add that the goal of the home page is to get the click. Most home pages to get the right click, and the right is the word I would emphasize. This is because no one makes money. So what you should be doing with that homepage is emphasize be a click through to the high margin product category on your site. It might be a click through. But whatever it is, getting that site focused around one clear objective is critical, and we analyze competitor and we want to know if they're doing that well or not. Has a clear problem solution process been communicated? This is yet again. Brian, do we have a site we want to run this through with at the same time?
I'm sorry, Flint, yeah, say again.
Do we have a URL that we want to apply this to?
Yeah, it's number 3 would be the one that we'd be comparing.
Let's stop right now, and to make this essentially more productive for you, I'm gonna apply this to a real website. So you guys are gonna want to click on the 3rd link in there, and I deliberately have not seen this website.
It's newegg.com, Flint.
Pardon me?
Newegg.com. N-E-W-E-G-G.com.
Yeah, I'm there. Thank you, Jimmy. And so I'm looking right now at newegg.com, which most of you know is a well-known site, and I'm going to start to analyze it using this competitive analysis. Do you think that would be helpful? So, good. First of all, is the site focused around one clear objective? And the answer is, it's certainly not focused around one clear product, but the primary space in this site has been dedicated to getting you to click on one of their products. You're missing something. We'll talk about what it's missing here in a moment. It's missing something very critical. But one thing Newegg has figured out well, and that is that if you don't put your products up front on the home page, you're losing a significant amount of money, because typically with every click you request your audience to make, you lose 50% of them. So right away, they're putting products up here that are critical. Now, if they're smart, they're not just randomly selecting products. They're selecting those that have high margin and high demand. There's an algorithm, or there's a graph between what's demanded the most and what you have the highest margin, and that's what you need to put on the page, not just the product that you decided you're going to put on special. You can determine what's in high demand by looking in your own search mechanism on your site to discover who or what products are being searched for the most, what brands are being searched for the most. And of course, you can also determine that by looking across and outside of your site at market demand. Sometimes we use PC magazines, top 5, and different things like that. So, A, they are certainly focusing you on clicking on a product, which is why this site works. B, I think that they've emphasized their search well on the left, which is strong. C, they have got the newsletter down here. And my suggestion is their newsletter form is A, in the wrong location, B, it's not emphasized correctly, C, it's losing less than, it's not capturing even 5% of the visits to the site, and D, they're leaving a lot of money on the table if they're missing here now. There's a way to change where that's at, change the color, change the shape, change the location. You know, using one of those five elements, you could make this work far more effectively. If I was a competitor of Newegg looking at this, one of the things I'd win and beat them on is in area of more email capture. They could make 20-40% of their revenue from their email capture, and I'm sure they do other things with email, and I'm sure they have other forms of email capture, but I'm looking on the homepage. It would be very important with Newegg not just to look at this page, but also look at their primary product pages, which we cannot do right now. So I also think that less is more. The right-hand side is far, far too cluttered in color for the average person to pick through it all and figure out. Now, they may do that on purpose because they may be cutting deals with their, you know, with their distributors or suppliers and for featured spaces here on the right-hand side. But in either case, the eyes, there's too much competition in the right column for your eyes. There's a way to get far more clicks to have that right column right now. So with that in mind, we move on. Is the site focused on one clear objective? I'd probably rank them a 2 to 3. Has a clear problem solution process been communicated? No, it is not. Does the homepage have a strong hook? I'm going to stop. I'm connecting these two together. When I come to the Newegg site, if I'd never heard of their brand before, the question is this where I need to be? And people walk through a website the way they walk through their mail. Essentially, they look at mail to eliminate it. You get a whole bunch of envelopes in the mail, and you basically want to be near a trash can, and as fast as you can, you want to throw away all the stuff that you know you don't have to look at. And it always bothers you when you get that one piece that you can't tell whether it's a check or a bill, or you can't tell whether it's a check or an ad. And they do that on purpose because they're doing everything they can to get you to open the envelope. Same thing applies to a website. People pass through a site from a search engine on their way to finding something, and so you have to jar them in order to stop them in the process of browsing past you. That happens by emphasizing the primary value proposition. There's not a thing I read on this site right now at the beginning or at the top or in the key space that connects with me personally, which is critical because people don't buy from the website. They buy from a person, even on the web. And I have no greeting text is what I'm saying. There's no personal connection with the customer, A. And B, there is absolutely nothing here that would help me to identify why I should shop at Newegg instead of another competitor. Is it because Newegg has, you know, 200,000 products on their site? Well, that would get my attention. Lots of inventory. Maybe what I need is here. Maybe I don't have to look anywhere else. Is it because their 5-star rating and biz rate? Well, that tells me they got great customer service, and it's a factual statement. It's not a brag. And thirdly, is it maybe because they're somewhere certified or they've been told they have, you know, their prices are low? Is there some evidence their prices are low? Part of that is seeing the prices on the page. Part of that is the sterling, since it's a qualitative statement, in most cases, should be quantitative, but it's qualitative primarily. Part of that is seeing a customer who says, man, you know, or an internet authority talks about the low prices at Newegg.com. The better the authority, the more the impact of that. What am I suggesting? I'm suggesting 2 to 5 lines of text at the top of this page where it says daily deals. It tells me why I should stop shopping and not look anywhere else.
Yeah, well, this is Jimmy. The reason that I specifically chose this site to look at is because if anyone's shopped on Newegg or seen Newegg around, they would know that they've won all the major service awards that you could possibly win. They're a BizRate Circle of Excellence award winner. They are verified or certified by every comparison site, every shopping site, every portal. They are the top-rated technology company, which is hard to get top rated on to start with in the first place, on all these different edges and all these different places. And the only place you see any indication of that is at the very bottom center of their homepage. If you go there, you'll see. Now, they used to have the Circle of Excellence information at the top of the page, which was a wonderful place to put it. And they had a little snippet of text that said, you know, they were, you know, pretty much for this. They were the only Circle of Excellence award winner, and like I said, it used to work well, but they have so much ammo to use that they could put at the top of this page that everybody could see, especially for the new customers, that I mean, it would just be a hands-down winner. And like I said, they stuffed it to the bottom of the page because, you know, because, and this is just because of their new design. I mean, they had a design 3 or 4 months ago that was not as clean as this design, but I believe it was more effective.
I'll go a step further. They have product reviews up in the top right, Jimmy. It says product reviews, 112,298 plus. And it's wasted. It's wasted because it's right there competing with all those ads that are far too color. Less is more. With all that, when you've got a bunch of color key products in the center of the page, you don't want to have more color on the right-hand side. And look at the contrast between oranges and burgundies and blues and greens and browns. It's very hard on the eyes, and you totally miss product reviews. Not to mention the ad at the top, Newegg.com, turkey is a lot easier to digest without pants after Thanksgiving. Sale is a it's a waste of space, and it's too convoluted a message for the average person to spend time to sit down and try to figure out what in the world they're trying to say. Not to mention that the white on brown or whatever that color is underneath it makes the wording hard to read, and it's a mistake. Now I'm not trying to tear Newegg up. They're reputed to be a good company, and I'm really not wanting to pick on them. I didn't see this page until just now, but if I was a competitor of Newegg right now, I'd be salivating. Because a web page can be built right now that will defeat this hands down. Now, you know something. I go back to what I said before. Half of this is offering. Half of this is presentation. If the offering is poor, then presentation is not. I can't build a presentation that will hide forever your offering is poor. But the reality is, if you had an offering that's as strong as Newegg, you could certainly present it better than what I'm looking at right now. So does the homepage have a strong enough hook? One. Has a clear problem process been communicated? When I say a clear problem solution process been communicated, what I mean is you're here with a problem. Have I identified what your problem is, and have I shown you a solution? Sometimes the problem is understood, like in a good retail site. Sometimes it's not understood at all. For instance, someone coming to a site to purchase memory may have a major problem. They're afraid they're not going to even get the right memory. They've tried to buy memory before, and they're afraid they won't order the right memory over the net. So you need to focus on their true problem. That they're not just looking for memory, they're looking for the right memory that will fit their machine, and that's conscious, that's in their mind, that's what they're concerned about. And your greeting text or your banner, your key headline needs, and I say key headline, avoid the banner. The key headline will, if your key headline is disguised in a banner, people's eyes will pass over because they'll think it's an ad. They've been trained to ignore banners. But don't put your top headline in a banner. But anyway, your key headline will then communicate something that will make them feel comfortable that not only do you have lots of memory, but you have the memory they need and you guarantee it. So find their problem, the one that's in the back of their line, and communicate that you have the solution. Do it with the principles laid out in my piece on transparent marketing, which discusses making quantified statements, and if it's a qualitative statement, can't be verified, then quote somebody else talking about you. Don't brag about yourself. Moving on. Are successive degrees of involvement offered? If you don't buy a product from Newegg, is there something else you'll offer me to do on this site that I can do for now? The answer is not really. Yes, I can sign up for a newsletter, but here's my incentive for signing up for a newsletter. Newegg.com's promotions. Boy, that's what I want. I want to get promotions in my mail every day. And a Newegg.com newsletter. Well, what kind of news does Newegg have? Why would I want your newsletter? It says see sample newsletter down there, but the link isn't underlined. I don't even know that that's a link until I slide my mouse over the top of it. Bad, it looks like plain text. And beyond that, I'm not going to click to see your sample newsletter because the idea of getting a newsletter from Newegg makes no sense to me whatsoever. However, if Newegg said to me, hey, sign up here to find our survey, the 10 lowest prices across the net, or the top 10, or you know, our lowest price survey of electronics across the net, that might be interesting. Or are, you know, give me a reason, a real reason, and then I might sign up. I would consider this newsletter here to be, ad here to be something they do because they think they're supposed to, but it's not working and they don't know how to make it work or they haven't invested the time to do so. The answer is, are there successive degrees? In other words, if I won't buy, will I at least give you my email address? No, I won't. And there aren't successive degrees in the site. Is making a mistake. Another successive degree might be, hey, you're not going to buy now, but do you want to put up something for Christmas layaway? In other words, make a wish list. Amazon's done that and others. Is there something I can do if I don't buy that will keep me engaged with you? No, there isn't. So I'm their competitor. I'm thinking on a way to beat that. Have credibility indicators been used effectively? No, they have not. They have them, but they're not using them. I would consider placing them all the way down at the bottom of a page this long as considering the average size of a monitor or browser to be about three steps above not putting them on there at all. Now, these should be used, if I clicked on the product, they should be used more liberally on the actual page where I'm purchasing the product. and right in the cart, I need them. Before I give you my credit card, I need them at key leverage points. I'm in their cart right now just to see and see if they've done it well in their cart. The answer is no, they have not. Now, may I stop here and say, I feel a bit brutal, but I don't mean to be. It's just that I continue to be shocked at how poorly we present our offering on the Internet, notwithstanding the fact that the good news, the silver lining in this cloud for you, is that so many of us are so intimidated by the larger players on the net, and it's so surprising how poorly they're doing. And if you will do it right, you can defeat them with a much better presentation. Your trick's not your presentation, it's your offering. Your offering's going to have to do with your core value proposition. That's more discovered than it is determined. But if you can figure out what is the single reason why someone should buy from you instead of the next person, instead of your competitor, at least in one dimension of value you excel, then look out, because then you can put an offering together that's super superior to even an older, established, reputable group like Newegg. So then, does the tone of the site sell copy imply integrity and accuracy? There is no tone. Certainly not on this page, because there's no text, which not means not only does it have a problem, incidentally, with achieving a relationship or rapport with the person that's visiting, but it's also not going to get picked up very well in the natural engines based on what I'm seeing on this page. They may have other ways of accomplishing that, but this page doesn't have enough comments or text in it to win well in natural search. I like on their product page how they lay out their specs. I like their reviews on their product page. That's good stuff. Or at least, yeah, I guess it's a product page. It's not the cart, but it's the product page. I clicked on one of their products. But in general, the answer to that question is no. Now, I can't continue to go through this. I'm going to get into the more parts of the competitive analysis, but you'll see the questions laid out in front of you. These are questions you should be looking at with your competitor, and you should use those to gain insights. Comparing that with your own site, we've actually put a sample one filled out here that you'll be able to look at also. That's either dropped into your notes or it'll be in the report that we send out with this. So in addition to the worksheet above, you should utilize certain guidelines when conducting competitive analysis. And I thought I'd give you some of those guidelines right now. But do you have any questions for me? Make sure we're off mute, Brian. Does anybody have questions for me about what we are covering now? I've put a lot of words into this time frame, and so I could cover a lot of material with you. But is everyone clear so far?
And if your line is muted, you can hit star 6 to unmute.
Yeah, star 6 will unmute your line. I'll proceed. Just feel free to go ahead and interrupt me if you have a question. Doesn't matter if you don't. Either way, I'm just going to move through material. I just want to make sure that I'm getting into your hands something rich and valuable that will help you as you conduct your marketing. Number one, utilize search engines, business directories, and word of mouth to identify your competitors, but primarily focus on the same channels where you're getting most of your traffic. And then, you know, obviously one of the things you want to look at is, are they using channels that you're not using? Are they in the comparison search engines and you're not? You need to search through all the channels themselves to see if your competitors are in channels you're not appearing. You also, and this may be in here, you also need to go into something like the Google Toolbar or AltaVista and look at all the links that are linked to their site and trace those links backwards and ask yourself, why are people linking to them, and can I get a relationship or a deal with the people that are linking to their site? Go to AltaVista, type in your competitor's name. You can trace the links to their site. You can do the same thing with Google's Toolbar and see who is linking to their competitor. Moving on, number two, identify...
Excuse me, yes? Can you be a little more specific when you say look at the links and track them back through AltaVista, for example?
Yeah, if your site's a publishing site and you've got a competitor that's publishing information like you are, let's suppose your product is employment law, mm-hmm. and so you suddenly go back into AltaVista, type in your competitor.com, type mm-hmm. it in there, and you see that there's, you know, 48 sites linked to them recommending them, maybe some a law firm recommending them, maybe a government site recommending them, maybe, you know, a blog entry recommending them. Your point now is, wow, why are all these people recommending our competitor and they're not mentioning me? And is there anything I can do to hook up with them?
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Identify the competitive advantage of each company in the analysis, including your own, and what makes, I mean, do they have anything in the core offer that's stronger than your core offer that you've got control over. I mean, you know, Walmart has an enormous brand advantage when they step onto the internet, but clearly they don't have, there's no reason why Walmart can't be beaten on the internet if someone approaches it correctly, particularly if you take the most effective niches in the Walmart sales cycle and create standalone websites that look like specialty stores just in that product. I worked with a site one time that was a major retailer. Instead of building one giant retail store, we built 46 small stores, all looking like they were expert specialists in that one offering. Conversion went through the roof. Just went public, the European Stock Exchange. Do your competitors utilize partnerships, outsourcing, or other strategic relationships? Could your own company benefit from such relationships? Number three. Number four, in the course of your analysis, pay attention to unique elements not addressed in these points or in the above worksheet. Often the greatest insights will come from where your competitors depart from the formula. It may be something totally distinctive you see on their site. Suddenly you go to their site and realize that since you were there last, they've got a configurator on their site. Speaking of which, configurators are a really powerful way to improve conversion. And it may well be that you look and say, wow, I don't have this configurator, and you go ahead and play with theirs, find out how well it works. Another thing you should do on your competitor's site is get in there and search for products and see what doesn't come up that should, and compare the strength of their search engine to yours. Many, many of you, if you're in retail, and there's lots of different types of people on here, and not just retail, but if you have a strong product offering, even publishing, it's abysmal how bad search results come back. And a good search, an improved search feature on your site can often result in significant revenue. We've got a configurator we tested. Jimmy, what did it finally end up at, conversion rate in that configurator?
I think with you going through, it was a little like 20.4%. It was something amazing.
Yeah, it ended up 20.67, actually, as I recall in that last study. 20.67% of the people that went in the configurator bought. Number five, utilize search engines to discover the incoming links. I kind of spoke that ad lib, but it's in my notes here, and you can see more on linking strategies in our research brief on that topic. And that is a link numbered in your notes right now. What number is that, Brian?
That's link number two.
Okay. Number six, make purchases from your competitors. How is their customer service? Are they utilizing drop shipping or other forms of outsourcing? What can you learn from watching how they do business? Number seven, monitor your competitors over time. I mentioned this also in the beginning, but I mean it's a key point written and listed here because you need to actually set up a schedule in which you monitor your competitors. Sign up for their email list and analyze their marketing messages. How strong is your competitor branding? You need to buy from your competitors also, and you need to study the whole process that takes place. You know, the customer service, the shipping notification, look at the collateral that comes with the product they send you. Buy from them. Number eight, analyze your competitors' Google, and that even consulting services. If I was selling a consulting service and someone else was, and I was curious as to how the whole process worked, I'd use a sub company, a sister company, my brother-in-law's company, whoever, and I'd invest the money to try and get them to, to perform services so that you can learn. Number eight, analyze your competitors' Google, Overture, and other PPC ads. This is really critical. We do a lot of work in this area. Knowing the best keywords for your market, it shouldn't be hard to locate your competitors' ads. These may give you ideas, both positive and negative, about how to modify your own campaigns. There's a critical part there, and there's more that can be said on this, but no company exists in a vacuum online, and if you ignore your competition, you lose the opportunity to discover your own strengths and weaknesses. You'll also be missing a tremendous source of data that can prevent you from having to learn your lessons the hard way over a much longer learning curve. So you can remove the blinders because effective competition or competitor analysis gives you the information you need to see your company and your customers and investors did and to tune your marketing and your business strategies for success. I'm going to open for questions, but I have a number of experts from my staff on the line. Jimmy, Bob, would you guys add to what I'm saying right now? Jimmy, you're building a number of competitive analysis for us right now. Bob's got an MBA and an expert in this area and contributed strongly to the article. Bob, let me start with you. Is there anything you'd add to what I've said, even going back to the foundational work in competitive analysis?
No, I would just reiterate what you said at the beginning, that that we've discussed specifically for the marketplace that we're addressing for online. This is what we've covered is competitive analysis for, you know, specifically for websites, a total business competitive analysis, as you pointed out, consists of defining the market, determining competitors, and then doing your analysis at one or two levels. You should at least do level one analysis, that, you know, where you do a macro assessment of the whole competitor base. So, you know, how do they perform on key factors that drive the success in your particular industry? And there are some tools that you can use to do that. One is called the strategic group map, and there's something called the Boston Consulting Matrix, and there are other tools that you can use to visualize, you know, take the data. There's a lot of data that comes together with a thorough competitor analysis, and you can take that data and put it, simplify it into something that you can make actionable. You should understand what your competitors' revenue models are. You know, how do they make their money versus how you make your money?
Bob, can I interrupt you there?
Yes, sir.
One of the things that I found, I was looking at a pet food group, and I won't tell you who, but many of us mistakenly think we know how our competitors are making their money or driving their revenue. Many people have been seduced into attacking a low price model, thinking that low margin, high volume was the competitor's secret. And those guys that are survivors in the industry have methodologies that you haven't seen yet to cross sell products, and sometimes their profit is hidden there. It's the analogy of McDonald's with a 39-cent hamburger. They make their money when you buy the drink. And the reality is, as I have worked on the inside of so many of these research projects and plotted and developed strategies connected with this, I know that I built a model that half a dozen companies copied across the internet, but they were copying the wrong part. They assumed the revenue was coming from product line X, because that's the way the whole thing was presented, but the true revenue was being made in a different way, and honestly, they all missed it. And so you need to dig deep and find out where they're making their money. I know another site that we were going to help them. They had an offering that had a subscription, and when we began research, we proposed helping them improve retention, their monthly retention. And do you know that they said, no, we don't want you to improve our retention? And I said, what do you mean you don't want us to improve your retention? I dug down. They actually made more money when you canceled than when you kept the product, because what they did was when you canceled, you had to call an 800 number, and a trained sales staff upsold you on another offering. And they were so effective at converting you on that call that they preferred you bought and then canceled within 90 days. Now, you know, as to the ethics of all that, it wasn't really, if you understood it all, it wasn't like there was something broken with the first product or the second. The point is, they wanted you to call in to them so they could engage you in a sales opportunity. Well, their competitors don't often understand that. And so make sure you do know what that real true revenue model is. Yes, Bob.
Okay. Thank you. That's pretty much it. Other than you also need to consider in your competitive analysis, when you're doing just the high-level analysis, you need to consider whether there are sources of sustainable competitive advantage that your competitors have. That is, do they have patents or copyrights that of course you don't have access to? Do they have a critical mass advantage from the marketplace, such as that eBay has in the auction space, and Microsoft has in owning the desktop? The critical mass advantage is something that's very hard to overcome. Do they have key relationships with influential people in the industry or influential entities? What kinds of competitive advantages do your competitors have that are very difficult to overcome? And you take all of that information from your competitive analysis, and what would you do with all of that? You would apply all that information. First, you would address things on the website from the analysis that we've gone through in the charts. But at a higher level business level, as you're going through the business level competitive analysis, you would use that to do kind of a strategic audit on your business and determine, what are your strengths and weaknesses, and what are the things that, what kinds of threats and opportunities exist for you. Figure out, use it to periodically go through and figure out how attractive this industry that you're in is for your company. I mean, you may actually determine that one of your competitors has something that is a source of weakness for you that they own, but they're weak in the marketplace, and you might court them as an acquisition target. On the other hand, you might discover that one of your competitors is so dominant or owns something because of copyrights or critical mass or other very difficult to overcome advantages. You might court someone to actually consider buying out your company. So this is an opportunity. Doing a business level competitive analysis is an opportunity to reassess your business periodically. And as you pointed out earlier, it's something that you should do not just once, but you should watch over time.
Yes, excellent. All right, well, good things. And I think I'm going to just point out for those of you that all this seems a bit overwhelming, in the report we're going to give you these steps. We're also going to give you this chart, and we're also going to probably put together an actual template for you that we'll have as an attachment you can download if you'd like to get more, just to make everything we've just discussed concrete. Having said that, Jimmy, anybody else from my group or any questions before I close out the conference?
One question here.
Yes, sir.
Key industry relationships. What are some of the ways that you can identify what a competitor might have in that area?
Well, typically, if they have a key industry relationship, they brag about it. So, get in the About Us, get in their a partnership link on their site where they have partners, and then, a lot of it can be discerned from studying the copy on their site. And beyond that, there's probably a list of key associations they may be involved with. But the biggest one is the key. They may hide something that, the company X is making something for them that they're selling to you. But in general, a lot of them talk very directly about their key partnerships or distribution deals. And you can find that on a lot of the websites have that as part of their as actual link on their site.
Mm-hmm.
If the site is a retailer that sells consumer type of goods, one of the things that you can usually do is check the manufacturer's websites of the products that they carry. For example, if you're on Newegg and you go to AMD's site and look for Where to Buy or something like that, the manufacturer just doesn't throw anybody up there on the Where to Buy page. Those are people that they have a strategic relationship with where they either have a marketing deal cut, they get special pricing, they have special authorization in one way, shape, or form that they are choosing them to be on their site to push customers to, and that's another way you can get a lot of good significant traffic. But using the manufacturer's websites to see who is authorized, who's not, a lot of times there's restrictions. There's only 10, they might only have 10 authorized resellers. If you're one of those 10, it's hard to get. When I used to resell computer parts to the previous company I worked with, we were one of only 10 or 15 resellers on quite a few of the manufacturer's websites that sold products and were authorized, and any lead coming in directly to the manufacturer that didn't sell directly would go to us. That was a strategic relationship and a strategic advantage we had, where we were getting sales no matter what the price was on a comparison site or whatever. Anyone going to the manufacturer was going directly to us because they were referred from the manufacturer to our site from their site. So it was little things like that. The web, in regards to my suggestions for competitive analysis, comes from using all these available sources on the web. Check out what your competitor is selling. See if he has a relationship directly with the manufacturer. Check on their site. But use the comparison engine. See if they have a Yahoo store. See if they have an Amazon store already. See if they're on eBay yet. The different marketplaces that they're already on will tell you a lot about their exposure on the web so far. They might only have one site on one comparison site, whereas you could put your site up, get on 15 comparison sites, have an Amazon store, get your products up on eBay, and your exposure will be huge. There's a lot of advantages just taking using the resources that are available, and we're going to include most of the, if not all the stuff we've talked about in the final report that goes out.
Super. And then the other question is, what are some of the ways you can identify who they're outsourcing to or what they're outsourcing?
The things that I've done a lot of times is, actually this is how the company I previously helped start, how we got started. We actually looked up we made purchases from competitors, and we looked up the addresses on the boxes.
Oh, you mean outsourcing shipping, for example. Okay.
That would be like, exactly, if you're using a distributor or something like that. That was just one of the ways that we were doing it. Sometimes you can even find out financial information on like a DNB report or any types of the free financial reports that you can find. Actually, I'm not sure if Free Edgar's still up, but if it's a public company and you can get your hands on some of the financial reports, you can actually see who they're making big checks to or who some of their key suppliers are.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Yes.
What about where would a good site be when we want to look at one that would get high marks on your chart?
You know, you'd probably if you're a member. So I would go in and look at our two reports. They're easy to find. They're in the left column under Improve Your Website, Site Design Part 1 and Site Design Part 2, and we have both good and bad examples referenced in there. And the other question. The only other way to answer that really well is, you know, I don't know what industry you're in, but it's so different depending on the industry you're in that that would be a thing. I'll tell you where you won't find it. You won't find it at Nielsen and a lot of the usability expert sites. And I frankly, you won't find it that well at MEC. I mean, MEC site is outgrown size, and we've had a beta test we've been doing for 6 months. You know, we have another whole copy of the site on another server that we're getting ready to launch here in December that will make navigation easier and clean it up. It was highly optimized, but, you know, we continually have to recycle it because of the amount of content we generate and the growth, you know, that we have. The usability guys like Jacob and these guys, a lot of them, and Jacob's changed, but in the old days, Jacob couldn't do graphics. He built the website without it and couldn't be bothered, and then he gave reasons why. And I'm not picking on him. He's good. He has a lot of great things to say. But the bottom line is that site wouldn't make money. It wouldn't have sold. If he'd have built a retail site the way he presented his own site, forget it. And I mention him because some of you may know him as a big utility guru. And it's improved a little bit as time has passed. But the only real way, guys, and this is, you know, this doesn't come with what a lot of usability experts do. You know what usability experts do? They and we have a usability capabilities here. We can videotape the whole process, their eyes, why they click their mouse, the mouse screen, all of that. But when you usability test a process to make sure it's working right, you gain a piece of information. But what you should be usability testing is the path by which someone actually initiates interest and closes the sale, and a check is, you know, and a credit card is received, or a bank payment is received. The true test of usability is revenue. And most of the usability testing I'm seeing is divorced from revenue, and so you get lots of neat findings that aren't nearly as impressive as they sound. And you got lots of usability experts out there who couldn't make any money in a retail operation with their advice. They had to start from scratch. So I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm just saying it's hard to find good stuff. But it's out there. I mean, I can give you some recommendations. What sector are you in?
Mostly retail.
Mostly retail? Crutchfield's got a pretty good site. When I haven't been there recently, Crutchfield Electronics, they are a very sharp direct marketing retail operation. Another site that is not particularly pretty, but it's extremely effective in terms of revenue production, is forallmemory.com. We worked on that site. I don't take responsibility for all of it, but we had a very high conversion on that site, very high, forallmemory.com with the numeral 4 in retail. So perhaps that might help you just a bit. Thank you. Tiger Direct's got a strong site.
They have a very strong site, and especially their product presentation. I would definitely, if you're a retailer,
particularly their product presentation, yeah, which is huge. I mean, which is very, very important. If I was a retailer, the average retailer right now could benefit so much by writing longer copy for their products and paying way more attention to getting enough content and photographs and the presentation of their products. I mean, there is so much money to be made by taking the painful route of getting that right, and most don't.
Do you guys have a recommendation for publisher websites that are well designed?
One that's doing horrendously well is SWUG, SSWG, SQL Server Worldwide Users Group. You might go to SWUG and look. You might look at MEC. Despite my criticisms, MEC site works dramatically well, and our group's grown 400% this year.
Which you mean just marketing experience, you mean?
Yeah. It's a publisher. I mean, we're publishers. And now, if you're talking about book publishing, are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about paid web content publishing.
Yeah. MEC's paid content is you know, I mean, MEC's an example, but you need to look at that site again in about a month, and then you can see an optimized, tested site that will help you. In the meantime, I'd go to SWUG.
Okay.
Yeah, SSWUG.com.
Okay. Super. Thank you.
And their site is not pretty, but look at the metrics on top. We're the ones that had them put those metrics. Look at their membership and look what's happening. It works. Also, bear in mind when it isn't pretty that it's their audience are highly technical, and they're just he has to keep the site feeling. This is very important. It's slanted that technical feel, which is a little bit less attractive than what you and I might do.
Right.
It's appeal that you're after to your specific audience, and he does that well. Anybody else? Any other questions?
Yeah, I've got one. I'm in the manufacturing industry, so I'm not typically going direct to the consumer at all. A lot of what you said today is still very applicable to me. What I'm having difficulty doing when I'm conducting a competitive analysis is determining if my competitors are delivering an appropriate message, considering the fact that they're dealing with obscure chemicals and paint products that are not easily quantified. Do you have any suggestions for me for measuring overall metrics when the products and services that you're dealing with are being marketed towards a group that understands your industry jargon and we're not necessarily talking about the consumer?
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of work in that area. First of all, I would suggest that you, as important as a competitive analysis is to you, you need to analyze the presentation of anybody you're selling to, any of your resellers, because there's a tremendous amount of help that you can give him, and it's very engaging to discover what it is they're doing right or wrong. In your case, are you asking us how you analyze a competitor who is also trying to supply your same customer?
Yes, and the reason I'm running into difficulty is because it's not something that's easily described. These products are obscure. They're targeted at niche markets. So is competitor X doing a good job because they've effectively communicated a sell sheet on their site? I don't know. That's horribly difficult to measure.
Send this over. You've got these competitors have websites?
Oh, all of us do.
Send me over what you perceive to be your top four or five competitors' sites, and we'll take a quick look at it for you. And some of you coming into we're doing research partnerships in the first quarter, but please, I'm not telling you. We've had 40 applications last week for people requesting research partnerships, and so I'm not selling anything, but some of you that are on this phone are that diligent. If you think that we might do something together to help you in a research project that would take place next year, you need to, you know, shoot me an email or shoot, you know, director@meclabs.com, and I'll send you over to some information, an FAQ where you can read about it. In the meantime, if you'll send me those competitors you're trying to analyze, I don't really understand what your problem is. From the phone, I need to see it, and I don't want to leave you hanging. So you send me the thing, and we'll take a look.
Thank you.
All right. Well, anyone else before I close? Thank you for your time. I trust this has been helpful for you, and we're getting a bunch more ready. So if you have ideas for good topics, it'll help you, shoot us an email. In the meantime, we'll talk to you soon again. Take care.